Maradona turns like a little eel and comes away from trouble. Little squat man comes inside Butcher, leaves him for dead. Outside Bennett leaves him for dead and puts the ball away. And that is why Maradona is the greatest player in the world. He buried the English defence.
I don't believe it. David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup finals.
Oh, oh. Thing of beauty and brilliance, Ronaldinho makes it 4-0.
Like Betamax, you do not make them like him anymore. What more can you say?
Suarez switching the play to Neymar. Neymar, great opportunity! And already it's a goal for Barcelona! Messi was involved, Suarez was involved. Neymar applied a classy finish.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. It's been a long time, again, it's been a long time, but before I get into anything else, I'd like to wish all the listeners out there of the Football Weekly Podcast a happy and prosperous 2015. Hope your holidays went well. Now in the new year, we're ready to get back on this show on a regular basis. I was able to get a co-host as well over the holidays, so you'll be hearing him later on in the show. For those of you that have listened to previous podcasts will know the name Joey Colangelo. He was on one of our very first shows called Young Guns, where we were talking about Canadian soccer and things like that. He's a coach in the youth system here in Canada, so he has a lot of insight and knows a lot about football, European football, so glad to have him aboard. And yeah, you'll be hearing him later on in the show. Let me get a little bit of the housekeeping out of the way. As usual, you can reach us on Twitter at Reginaldinho. You can also subscribe to the podcast on our website. I've changed the website a little bit. I've made it more user friendly. There's a couple of different tabs. There's a couple of different ways to listen to the podcast now as well. We're always busy here at Football Weekly, and we're now on Stitcher. If you have that app for your iPhone or Android phone, we're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn. We're also on iTunes now, so you can find our podcast on iTunes. We're also on Player FM, and there's many other different ways that you can subscribe to our podcast. If you go to our website now, I've added a new page called Listen. If you go to that page, there's many different ways you can listen to our podcast, subscribe, download the apps onto your phone, and you can get our podcast on the go. There's also a subscribe page where you can subscribe to the RSS feed, which is our feed. You can subscribe to Twitter, our YouTube channel, our Google Plus page, and get us that way. Google Plus page, you can leave comments, show topics, whatever. YouTube is just our show, the regular show that you hear, but I'm in the process of setting up the green screen so you can actually see what you're hearing. It's not quite ready yet, but later on in the year it should be up and going. This podcast, episode 13, is going to be mainly about the news. We're going to discuss Champions League with Joe. I did a brief Champions League recap of the upcoming games that are starting in February, the next round. But Joel wanted to give his two cents, so we're gonna talk Champions League again, and we're also gonna discuss January transfers since we're January 4th now. Transfer window's officially open, so we're gonna see what teams need what players are on the move, what leagues are gonna benefit from these world class players coming in. So as usual, sit back, relax, take in the Football Weekly podcast, and we'll be back right after this. Unfortunately, for the first topic of 2015, we're going to have to start the Football Weekly podcast on a sad note. A player from the Russian Premier League, 20 years old, named Gassan Magomedov, who plays for Anzhi Makhachkala, was shot dead while driving in his car. His car was sprayed with machine gun fire, I believe, while he was driving from training. 20-year-old midfielder, played for the reserve team, or played for the youth team, actually. Where he was killed, there was a lot of organized crime. He comes from the region of Dagestan. That's the area where Anzhi is situated, Anzhi Makhachkala. In Dagestan, there's a lot of Islamic militant activity where gunfire is very common. Not sure if it was a mistaken identity or just a group out to prove a point, but very sad indeed. When we have to talk about things off the field that involve death and violence and things like that, it's very sad. Unfortunately, it's a reality. Like I said, it's a place, Dagestan, is very heavily influenced by organized crime. Where there's crime, there's violence. When there's violence, there's death. So and poverty as well, because the group of people that live in Dagestan are one of the poorest people in Russia. So you add the three elements, violence, crime, and poverty together, well, it's not a recipe for success. So hopefully they'll be able to catch the perpetrators of the crime. Prayers and heartfelt wishes go out to the family of Gassan Medmedov and the Anzhi supporters. Now getting back to the football stories on the pitch. Lots of things happened over this holiday break, but I've picked the top five or six stories that we're going to talk about on the show. A local story here in Toronto has Jermaine Defoe wanting to do everything in his power to get the hell out of Toronto. So TFC, Toronto FC, is trying to help him with that wish, but it doesn't seem that we're able to sell him to anybody, or anybody can afford his wages right now. Because he doesn't want to take a pay cut, but he doesn't want to play here either. And I think we're the only team that's going to pay him what he's making. So something has to give. Either he wants to take a pay cut and go somewhere else, or he has to play here next season, which he probably won't. He'll probably stay in England and won't even report to training camp. And it's sad because he was a very integral part of the TFC last year when he did play. He was hurt for the majority of the season, but when he did play, he was a threat and a goal scorer. So he'll be missed in TFC because they don't have anybody that scores goals. But I believe we offered him to Liverpool. They turned him down. Queen's Park Rangers turned it down. Leicester City is now on the clock, so to say. So not sure where he's going to end up, but I know he's definitely not going to play for TFC next year. But you know what? I could be wrong. Maybe everything you're hearing in the news is false, and he loves it here, and he'll be back in the red and white. But I doubt it. Speaking of the MLS, we have another player from the EPL that's probably going to make his debut in the MLS next season, and that's Steven Gerrard from Liverpool. Looks like he's going to be going to the LA Galaxy on an 18-month contract at $6 million per. LA makes the most sense. I mean, it's nice weather. You're Hollywood. Beckham, you're following in the footsteps of Beckham, who's probably been on the phone with Steven Gerrard telling him how wonderful LA is. Landon Donovan retired, so that money's freed up. Designated player spot is freed up for LA. So it makes sense for him to go to LA. Thierry Henry retired, So there's a designated spot opening up in New York as well. But if you put the two together, LA or New York, I believe LA holds more appeal just from the weather and the lifestyle down there. So and Beckham had played there already, so we can tell him exactly how it is down there. So I believe Steven Gerrard will sign with the MLS LA Galaxy. And it's just funny to look back and see all the players that could be heading to the MLS. We know Kaká has signed with the Orlando team. When they get started, and Frank Lampard's supposed to be playing with New York Football Club, but we'll get into that a little bit later in the news. I would love to see Ronaldinho play in the MLS. Because I still believe, like I said on the last podcast about Thierry Henry, I was very proud and happy to see Thierry Henry when he was the best player on the field. And I still believe Ronaldinho would be the best player on the field in the MLS even today. He'd be the best player on any team in the MLS. So then I would get tickets to go to see TFC whenever Ronaldinho was in town. He's playing in Mexico right now. He's been moving around team to team in the last couple of years. So if he wants to get that big payday, I believe the MLS is the way to go, and I'd be very happy to see him in the MLS. Not going to come to Toronto, doubt it. Not going to come to New York, doubt it. He's going to probably be based in the Orlando, Miami, LA type of hot weather, Brazilian type of areas. He's never really played in a cold climate. He's always played in warm climates. When he first started out, actually, he played in France for a little bit, but then moved to Barcelona. Italy gets a little chilly in the winter, I believe, but if you ever seen him play in the cold seasons, he's got a headband on, a neck warmer, gloves, long sleeve shirt underneath that, so he's probably not a cold weather guy, so I could see him playing for a Miami, LA, or maybe even San Jose or something like that. So for all those people on the East Coast hoping that they want to get Ronaldinho to come play, I doubt it. But you never know. We'll see. Whoever offers the most money, I'm sure he'll go there. But I believe the allure of the hot weather and the LA, Miami lifestyle would be too much to pass up. So hopefully we can see him in the league. Fernando Torres returned to Atletico Madrid, the team he started out with. I haven't really been following his exploits on his new team, so I don't know if he's scoring goals or whatnot, or even if they've played a game. I don't believe they've played a game. Well, actually, they have played a game. Don't have any of his stats, so just funny to see how the circle of life comes right back to where you started from. So never should have left Liverpool, in my opinion. He's one of those players where you play against him, and it's just like, uh-oh, don't let him get the ball. Don't let him get the ball in the 18-yard box because it's going to be a goal. When he was at Atletico, he was prolific. When he was at Liverpool, he was prolific. His career went downhill when he joined Chelsea. And he's been struggling to find form ever since then. So hopefully he can get back on track. I still believe he's only like 29 years old. So hopefully he can get back on track and become the most deadly strikers in the world. I'm going to give you my Eibar update. For those of you that listen to the podcast, know that I had a story about Eibar, a team from the Spanish La Liga, tiny, tiny, tiny team, and I compared them to Barcelona, and how Barcelona spends and how Eibar spends, and how they're in the same league, and it's amazing to see. They're up to eighth place in La Liga. The last time I spoke to you about them, they were in ninth place, so they actually moved up a spot. Still want to see that. I still want to see them play. Still haven't been able to stream any of their games. But eighth place in La Liga, tiny team with a shoestring budget, making it work. So good on them. Spoke a little bit about Frank Lampard in the beginning, playing for Manchester City. When he signed a loan with Manchester City, he signed a loan deal from New York FC in the MLS, because that's where he's going to be playing. That's where he's going to be based out of this upcoming MLS season. Since MLS wasn't playing, they don't start playing until March. He was on loan at Manchester City for, you know, a 6-month loan until MLS starts, and then he has to go back to New York. Well, Manchester City, who actually owns New York FC, has decided to keep Frank Lampard at Manchester City for the remainder of the season, which has enraged New York FC fans, because he's not going to be available for the first couple of games in the MLS season. And after the season, he's probably going to want to take a holiday for 3 or 4 weeks, and then he has to come in and get to know people and train and get back into shape. So you're probably not going to see this guy play until June, July, August. And that's halfway, that's towards the end of the season. New York FC is selling season tickets based on the fact that we have Frank Lampard. Come see Frank Lampard. Come get your Frank Lampard jersey. Frank Lampard, Frank Lampard, Frank Lampard. And then you're not going to see him until July or August, because Manchester City decided, yeah, we want to keep him for the end of the year. There's nothing you can do about it because we own you. I'd be furious if I was a fan. I'd be furious if I bought season tickets. And this goes to the notion that MLS is a third-rate league. I mean, there's nothing that the commissioner can do. Players owned by Manchester City, teams owned by Manchester City, they dictate terms. If New York FC says, yeah, no problem with it, MLS can't have a problem with it. But like I said, if I was a fan who bought tickets, who was a fan of this team, furious. Absolutely furious. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but well, I know what's going to happen with that. It's already done. The loan's been extended, so he can still play in the EPL, apparently. So it'd be funny to see what happens next season. But MLS starts in 2 months, so you know you're not going to see him. But oh well, it's not TFC. Another issue that we spoke about in previous podcasts was the case of Chet Evans, which was actually the last podcast, Merci Les Gens, from episode 12. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, go back and download that and have a listen to that, because I spoke about this guy, convicted rapist, soccer player who was a convicted rapist who wants to come back and start playing again. Team in the lower leagues of English Premier League, Oldham Athletic, would like to sign him. Now, I spoke previously about this guy and then how many signatures were gathered in order for this guy not to play for Sheffield United. I forget the number of signatures that was that were gathered, but it was a significant amount to the point where Sheffield said, yeah, no thanks. So now Oldham Athletic come in and want to take their shot at him, and talks are still ongoing for him to sign. Only 5,000 signatures against this signing have come out, so, and the major sponsor, which is Direct Sports, I believe, the same guys that are Newcastle United's main sponsor, have said that they won't pull their sponsorship if they sign him. I think this thing's going to go through. Once your main sponsor says, yeah, we're fine with it, there's nothing, there's no amount of signatures from groups that are going to keep this thing from happening, especially if he's a good enough player to make the team and help them get to where they need to go. If you haven't listened to that story on the podcast, it's the last episode, episode 12, right after the Thierry Henry segment. So have a listen, and I still torn on it. I mean, if you served your time, and you should still be able to come out and make a living for yourself and be able to do something to earn money. It's a privilege to play football at the highest level. So maybe not at the highest level, but if a lower level team wants to take a chance and actually give him a chance to make a career and earn a living, I'm kind of torn. Rape is disgusting, but at the same time, if he's served his time, then I think he should be allowed to pursue a career. And that's it for the news. That's all I have for the news. That's all that stood out to me the last couple of weeks that I was able to read stuff between the parties and the drinks and whatnot. So the next segment we'll be introducing Joe Colangelo to the audience. Just came to me that the last podcast that Joe was on actually wasn't a Football Weekly podcast. It was another podcast that I host. So the Football Weekly podcast family doesn't know who Joe is. So I'm going to have him introduce himself and let you know team alliances and then things like that. So, and then we'll get right into his Champions League predictions, and then we'll get to this year's transfer news within all the leagues that we cover, EPL, Bundesliga, Serie A, nothing in the MLS to talk about, and then La Liga. So as discussed earlier, we have a, hopefully we have a new co-host for the Football Weekly podcast. For those of you that have listened to previous podcasts, and actually, like I said earlier, it's from a different podcast that I hosted. I will put that episode up on the website. We spoke to our new co-host about Canadian soccer and specifically the youth that is coming up in Canadian soccer that are making a splash in the world and playing all abroad and the success that they're having and the reasons why. So for those of you that didn't hear that episode of the podcast, I'd like to introduce Joe Colangelo to the Football Weekly podcast family. Joe, you there?
I'm here, buddy.
Good, good, good. Before we get started, for most of the people that don't know you, how about we just give them a little bit of an intro on who you are and what you're about?
Well, I don't know if there's much of an introduction, right? I'm just trying to get by. I think you said, I'm just a youth coach in the area, in the GTA. I coach in Vaughan. I coach in Markham and Mississauga. And yeah, I just, like you, I'm just interested in progressing our game. And I've been fortunate enough to work with a couple of players who've gone on and to do a little bit of their thing. They're still doing their thing, whether it be in the NCAA, in Division 1 and 2. And a couple of guys who I've been lucky enough to work with that are in Europe. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay, excellent, excellent. As the show progresses throughout the year or years, hopefully, you'll get to know him a little bit better. Kind of on a tight schedule here, and hopefully,
yeah, we're trying to get some stuff done.
Yeah, we got to get some stuff done, and hopefully, you'll be a regular contributor to the show weekly.
We'll try our best. This was a tough sledding to get us going, but we're gonna do what we can.
Well, for sure. Okay, so what we're going to do with Joe this segment is we're going to discuss a little bit about the Champions League draw and his predictions on what he believes will transpire in the upcoming knockout round of the Champions League.
I know exciting I did time.
A, sorry?
Exciting time in the Champions League.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know I did a little bit of a Champions League preview, I think, last episode, episode 12, but that was just my ramblings. Now we're going to hear Mr. Colangelo.
yeah. My nonsense.
All right, so that being said, let's get right into the Champions League predictions. First game we're going to discuss, it's going to take place in Germany.
I think I know where you're going. Yeah. What do you got?
And we have
Shakhtar.
No.
Okay.
We're leaving the best for last, right?
Yeah, okay.
We're leaving the best for last. We have Shakhtar Donetsk against Bayern Munich.
Okay, really? Do we got to do this one?
Yeah, of
right.
course.
I guess you know where I stand with that. Wow. Like, come on, it's got to be a colossal failure. Is for Pep and the new Bayern Munich if they don't go through here. So I'm going to do the easy thing here and pick Bayern in a rout. Is that okay?
That's fine.
I know it's tough to travel to the Ukraine. I understand that they might not have, you know, I don't want to get too politically incorrect here, some, you know, running water and stuff, but I think we're safe to say they're going to, Bayern will go through. What do you think? We're good?
Yeah, I had Bayern going through, but I had it a little bit harder than a route, though. I think.
Well, I guess because they got to travel there. I mean, you know, with all due respect to Shakhtar, I know it's tough to go there, but I think they're poised for another run.
And I made the point the last time that they fill up their team with a lot of Brazilian attackers, so it's not going to be as easy as people think. I think Bayern goes through, but I still think that it's going to be a little bit difficult for. It's going to be made a little bit difficult by them.
I could see that, but I'm still going to go with Bayern in a route.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I have Bayern going through, too, but I don't know if it'll be a route. So I guess we'll, middle of February, we'll know where we stand on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Second game, I got PSG and Chelsea.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this is one where I wish I would seen it a bit later. I think I would wish to see this in a semifinal, but yeah, I guess, hey, knockout's knockout. We always talk about you got to beat the best teams whenever, right? So I guess, I don't know, I think my heart wants to say PSG only because I really want to see Ibrahimovic go deep into a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because of just sheer talent, not because I really like the guy per se, but he's pretty damn talented.
Right, for
but
sure.
But I just got to think that Mourinho's going to find a way to get this done. I wouldn't be surprised if PSG wins this out, right? I mean, kind of like what you're saying, because it is a two-leg thing, but I just think Chelsea gets through, and I think it's going to, in my opinion, a typical Mourinho find a way to get it done. You know, maybe this is where Mourinho, well, I mean, they just lost to Tottenham, but, you know, they put the pedal off the gas in the Premier League, not because they're going to make a decision to, but right. I can just see that happening where the focus just directly goes into getting a result. And I don't know about how pretty it'll be. Mourinho's proved that for sure. So I'm going with Chelsea in a tight one, maybe like a away goals thing.
That's exactly what I said last episode. I think Chelsea will do enough at home to get the to get the home result and then go and
steal something, right? Or make it difficult.
I think they're just gonna go and not. I don't want to. I'm gonna say park
know,
the bus.
That term. I know it's like,
but I don't want to say that because I know they're not going to. But I think they're just gonna go there saying, you know what, a tie is great.
Yeah,
we come back to Stamford Bridge. Stamford Bridge, and we pop two, and then we're through.
Yeah, again, it's a typical Chelsea in the Champions, I think.
That's
right?
It. That's it, right?
That's me. So anyway,
that's what I think. Anyway, so yeah. I have Chelsea going through as well.
Yeah.
Next, I have FC Basel against Porto.
Yeah, you know this Basel team. This is the Basel team that you know like did some damage to Man United.
Right.
Right. And like it's always like proven, like I don't know, it's like
they gave Liverpool a hard time and they also gave Real Madrid a hard time second half.
You know what I mean? So this is a tight one just here because I don't know what you're gonna get here.
Exactly.
Like, you don't know what exactly is gonna happen. So I think this is where I go on a limb and pick Basel.
Yeah. I can't remember who I picked, but
you know, like
I had it a tight one.
Yeah, like I think the they're catching up, the other leagues, so to speak. I think we're still going to go with, you know, the EPL teams and a couple of La Liga teams and a couple of, you know, German Bundesliga teams at the top. And then everyone else kind of, like, can get results. I mean, you know what I mean? So I'm going to go with Basel just because I don't think that they're scared to, I think, like you said, about going to Liverpool and say, hey, at Anfield, like, hey, took points there and
nothing to lose.
They're going to do it.
And nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Nothing to lose, and I picked that as a tight one. I said in a football term, I said it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, true.
I don't know what will happen. It could swing either way and not surprise me. So
yeah, for sure.
We'll go with Basel.
Yeah.
Next game we have is Schalke against Real Madrid.
Okay. Well, I guess everyone is like this is kind of like the Bayern one, but I just really don't see Schalke getting much out of here. I mean, I think this is a Madrid team that's like, you know, I mean, they're so, so dangerous.
Just that just that attack alone is
it's just unreal. Like, yeah, it can bail you out, like, whenever I bail you out. I didn't mean that, but that's pretty good.
I see what you did there.
I didn't even mean that one.
I see what you did there. Clever.
Jeez, oh, you know, I didn't even mean it. Okay, I meant it. How about that? I meant it.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are they likable to me? Well, I mean, the obvious, I know it'll be my old heyday of when Serie A was actually decent. I like Ancelotti. But, I mean, beyond that, that's nonsense. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo and cast and crew, I think they get this done. And I think they're poised for a major deep run in this tournament again. And you know what? They should be. I mean, with that money they spent on that team, shame on them if they don't get to at least the semifinals. So I'm going to pick Real in a... I think this one is a comfortable one. Probably, you know what, more than the Bayern one because of the fact of traveling to the Ukraine and so on. So I'm going Real here big time.
Yeah, I picked Real as well.
Yeah.
I think Schalke plays well up until about the 65th minute. And then the attack just takes over, and I think Real Madrid in both legs pops two or three in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's one of those, right? It's one of those, whether you're talking in a beer league or or a professional high-class league, is once you get one, I think the rest will just start to open up, and that's what I see happening. I mean, this is where I see, like, Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, flipping off his shirt and flexing after he scores a 4-0 penalty. Oh, penalty did he shot. Do that already? Oh, wait, he might have done that already. God, love us.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway,
my bias is clearly shining through.
For sure. But, yeah, I think Real takes that as well.
Yeah.
Next couple of games, pretty tasty, actually. Man City versus Barcelona.
Wow, are they playing again? And they are, right? Every year.
And they are.
You know, I think this one's tighter than in years past, Reggie. I just think that Barca has this... I mean, it's funny to say, are they the Barca of old when they can throw out Messi, Suarez, and Neymar? Right? Exactly. I mean, are you joking me?
That's your front three, right?
Yeah, you know, and people are saying, well, is this the same Barca? Are you kidding? With those three, anything can happen.
Exactly.
And maybe by February, I know they just lost to Real. I just think by February they'll be clicking. But you count against it. I mean, Man City probably they have a major striker problem right now.
Well, that's what I said. If Aguero's not back and firing by then. I don't see them progressing.
Yeah, and that's a big if. And I think that's when we get to part of our transfer thing. You know, hot little rumor that I just heard today. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you heard it too, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
It might help Man City. But I just think because of that big if, I'm going Barca. I just think that, like you said, if Aguero's there and they got other pieces, I think Ture would have been, like, he would have been chomping at the bit here, right?
To play against his old team. If he wasn't away, right?
Yeah, and I mean, is there a better box-to-box midfielder than him right now? I don't know. If there is somebody, there might be somebody as good. I doubt is better. But I don't know. I'm going to go Barca only because I think Suarez and Co, Neymar and Messi, just find a way to get some firepower and get this done.
Well, I took Barcelona as well, just for the sheer fact that Man City doesn't have any strikers. And it's not just the fact that Aguero, if Aguero is back, he's got to be back and in shape, in form, ready to hit goals. He can't be coming back and this is his second game back and he's working his way. No, he has to be already scoring for them to have a chance. And if he's not doing that, I can't see them progressing.
Same, and I see a ton of goals in this, and I think that if it's going to be a wide open thing, I think Barca just, can anybody, like, if you're going to, can you go wide open with teams like Barca, Real, and Bayern? That's a tough ask, so I'm going Barca.
Yeah, that counterattack is not it's not pretty to watch if you're defending it. I can tell you that. Well, I took Barca as well there. Just can't see Man City. I can't see Man City doing much. And Company. I haven't seen Company in a while, so if he's not playing, I definitely don't see.
And talk about Man City, like, going through. The heart and soul, like him and Ture, the heart and soul.
Right up the middle.
You know, like, they are totally that. And you know, the argument could be made that those are two of the best in their positions in the world. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Well, the toughest to beat, especially.
For sure, yeah.
If not the best, the toughest to play against. So we both have Barcelona going through that, I'm assuming?
Yeah, okay. We're agreeing a lot, yeah.
Okay. Next one we have from the Serie A, we have Juventus versus Borussia Dortmund.
Okay. I think Juventus is built to go through here, but... Here's a perfect example of a team in Borussia who are really surprisingly bad in the Bundesliga right now. I mean, they're in a relegation battle.
Yeah, I've spoken about that on the podcast. I can't believe it.
It's just, you can't fathom it. But great run of form and champions.
It's weird. So, it's weird how that works, eh?
Yeah.
Shit in the league and you're great in Champions League.
Yeah. So on paper, you look at the Italian champions against that. It is not that simple. I think here I'm gonna. I really want to say Juventus, but I really, like, Jurgen Klopp. I don't think that his, like, if he's gonna barely survive in the Bundesliga, I think that they know, like, they're totally gonna be focused on champions.
Well, that's the point. That's the point I brought up when I spoke about this. I think the silver lining for their season is the Champions League, and I think they're going to go all out to sort of secure themselves to make it some type of success for this season going far in the Champions League. Because I don't just to not get relegated and make it far into the Champions League would probably be a success for them. So
yeah, and I think because that is for them, they just need security in the Bundesliga. They know they're not going to challenge for a title.
Right.
Right. And to go deep into this tournament, which they have in the past, not so, you know, far past, they can do that. And again, is Hummels going to be fit?
Is he going to be there?
Marco Reus.
Is he going to be there? You know?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to go Juve, but I could totally see Borussia going through. I'll give Juve that. I'll give him that one. Okay, they'll go through, but you know what? They really got to show me that they belong. So I can really see them after the first leg. Put it this way, if Juventus has got to crawl back, I don't think they can do that. But I think Borussia can crawl back because of their striking prowess. So
right.
I'm going to go with Juve, but I wouldn't doubt if, here's my little prediction, if Immobile knocks out, wouldn't that be something? Former Torino striker knocks out Torino club in Juve. I'm going to call Juve, but I really wouldn't be surprised if Borussia goes through.
Well, there's our first disagreement. I have Dortmund
and
going
valid,
through.
Very valid, but
I just think, like I said earlier, I just think to make the season any type of success, they have to focus all their just finish 16th and go far in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And I think at this point in the season, they would take that. So,
well, and let's be fair, let's call a spade here. All the pressure's on Juventus here.
Oh yeah, for
all
sure.
All the pressure's on Juventus. Like they're the only Italian team in there. Mm-hmm. They're the champions of their league.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, no one's expecting Borussia to do anything here. It's on them. So I think that that's a dangerous, dangerous tie for Juventus, but we'll see.
Yep, so you have Dortmund. Next game, Bayer Leverkusen against Atletico Madrid.
Oof. You know, I just think that talking about coaches that know how to get the best out of their team at the right time,
mm-hmm.
I really believe that's Diego Simeone.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I just think that I watch them and I see this team that forever, the last few years, have kind of been waiting for them to drop off.
Right.
They haven't.
Even losing their star striker, they're still right up there, right?
Yeah, and I know they just signed Torres, and that's like, geez. Like, but, I mean, I'm not getting that romantic thing, but Simeone, just I think that he has a belief with this team that they're legitimate. And I'm calling Atletico.
Yeah,
and
I'm calling
them in a, not a walk, because again, I respect all the German teams that way, but I think Atletico is going to get it done. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think Atletico finds a way to get through this.
I just think they're so disciplined, you know.
Exactly.
They have
a well-oiled machine.
They have a game plan. They stick to it. They don't go off course, and it usually bodes well for them. So I have Atletico going through as well.
I don't think we'd be surprised, you know, if we see a Diego Godin header do it again. You know, I mean, how many times is this guy going to do this? Champions in La Liga, in the World Cup, you know, knocking out Italy in a decider game. Like, and you can almost call it. Like, he's just, I think he's very underrated as center back. I think not only his heading, you know, prowess in the box and stuff, I just think that he exemplifies that, like you talked about, that discipline, right?
Right.
No, I hated Diego Simeone as a player.
He's so tough to play. He was tough to play against. Very tough to play against. And you know you were in a game when you played against him. I never played, but watching games, you just see that he was the intensity and the aggressiveness was there, right?
It was like I don't know if you can go to other sports like the Bad Boys in basketball and the Pistons.
Right.
You know, like, no one really liked them, but damn, they were tough to play against.
That's it. Everybody hated playing against them.
Yeah, you know, like, even like the old, you know, something near to your heart, like those old, like, Anthony Mason, Knicks, and like Charles Oakley, like, just to use a basketball reference, that's how I use the Atletico and Simeone, and taking on his personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough to play against. They have an identity.
Yeah, good point.
Which, I don't know Bayern Leverkusen's identity.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Speaking of tough identity, and now can we get to the next one? Or?
What's left?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You tell me.
Monaco versus the Arsenal.
Well, I think I'd be more interested in this if, like, I'm interested in it, but I'd be more interested in this if you had Falcao and Monaco.
I wouldn't be.
I mean, you might be interested, more interested if Falcao was on Arsenal. That's a different story.
Sure, yeah. That's a...
I mean, listen, I think Alexis Sanchez does this again. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
eh? Arsenal gets such a... And Arsene Wenger just gets beat up. You know, and I think that it
deserves it.
You know, I know for a long time, Gunners fan like you, I hear you. But I just think in this tie, I think that I look at who's the best player in the tie. And I think right now, in his run of form, I think Alexis Sanchez can just really win this. I think he can do it. I think he's enough. Now, if I'm Monaco, you know, like, that's... I mean, we know what's going to happen, right? Every team that does this to Arsenal, I mean, they put up a fortress and try to disrupt their play.
Well, that's what happens. I think, said this previous, they just... As soon as they get into the final third of the attacking zone, I'm talking about Arsenal.
Yeah.
It just seems like the ideas just poof, they vanish. They're fantastic from the back through the midfield, fantastic. And as soon as they get to the 18-yard box, it's
you know what I've always said. I've always said that if Arsenal had Yaya Touré, wow, you'd have like a knockout team.
Well,
and this is what I'm talking about. I think Arsenal in the trend. I guess we'll get to it, but. You know, obviously they got to look for someone who's not cup-tied, but, like, I just look at that team, and I'm like, what the hell is Flamini doing on there, you know?
Yeah.
And I know he's bound by not having a lot of options right now, but this Arsenal team, if they get by this, again, Arsenal can go deep in this because we talked about, you know, maybe Arsenal gets back to their regular home address at fourth place, right? Every year.
Forever fourth.
Yeah, right? So I just think that if they're, you know, we have a month till that. If they're entrenched there, I think you can see Arsenal going for a deep run. I think Arsenal has more quality here in Monaco. I know that the romantic thing here is Arsene against his old club, but how much can that really last?
Like I said, It'll last 10 minutes. It'll last the pregame show. That's about it.
Yeah, you know, just to make it exciting so we can talk about Arsene Wenger telling back to his old stomping or whatever. Right. Arsene Wenger is an Arsenal coach. I mean, no one says Arsene Wenger, the ex-Monaco coach.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so, to me, it's Arsene Wenger. It's Alexis Sanchez. I just think that if there ever was a player who made a wise move in leaving Barcelona or, like, one of those, you know, clubs like that to really cement his stardom, it's Alexis Sanchez. I mean, Alexis Sanchez, I was watching him at Udinese, and he was just ridiculous. And he's just done nothing but get better and better. And if he gets the time and space, I think he himself, I know Arsenal has a good collection of players, you know, and if you're a fan of soccer, you can't not help but like and respect the quality of their play, quality of their goals. But Sanchez can win a game by himself.
Yeah, I just hope he's not burned out by then, though.
Sorry?
I hope he's not burned out by then, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right?
He's playing every game, every minute, now.
And I think that's what leads into what we're going to talk about next, about what are they going to do? What are some of these teams going to do for reinforcement? Because some teams don't need it. Real Madrid, Bayern.
But those teams that don't need it are still active in the market. And we'll, like you said, we'll talk about it later. But
yeah, you're right, Reg. And I just think we will expand on it more, but just to close it, I just think it's because it's almost like, who can we keep away from the other guy?
Exactly.
Right? So, anyway.
Or like Jose Mourinho back in the day where he would just buy players so that other teams couldn't get him.
Yeah, keep him away.
Keep him on the bench and ruin their careers.
Yeah, for sure.
Sean Ray Phillips.
Yeah, just so we didn't have to face them or prepare against them, right?
Exactly. We have the money. Let's buy all the players that our rivals are going to get and sit them on the bench for this season.
So we got Schalke and Shakhtar going to the final then, right?
That's pretty much what we have, I think. So, just to recap, we both have Bayern Munich, both have Chelsea, Basel and Porto, pick them. But you have Basel, Schalke and Real. We have Real, Man City, Barcelona, Juve and Dortmund is where we differ. Where you have Juve, I have Dortmund. Pick them again, I believe. But Arsenal to advance against Monaco and Atletico Madrid to advance against Bayern Leverkusen. So pretty much the same on the same wavelength. But middle of February, best time of the year. Knockout round starts. So
it is.
It'll be beautiful. It'll be beautiful to watch.
It is, yeah, for sure.
Beautiful to watch. So you brought up this point during your predictions about players being cup tied, which leads us into the transfer market.
Yeah, and this is the salivating stuff now, right?
Yep, the salivating stuff indeed. It's nicknamed.
So we're gonna get right into this. What do you think?
Yeah, we. Hey, do you have anything to add? Actually, you know what?
Tell me.
I wanted to ask you a question about. I spoke about the Ballon d'Or finalists last week.
Oh. Yeah.
And or last podcast. And I wanted to know, who do you think is going to win and why?
So who do we got as the finalists, right? Just to let everybody know again.
Finalists are Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo.
And
Manuel Neuer, yep.
Should I put my controversy hat on now, too?
Well, buddy, let's do it.
Yeah, should we do it? Like,
let's do it.
Well, I just got this bad feeling that Mr. Blatter, like, does he really want to give Cristiano Ronaldo another Ballon d'Or? Hell, I don't. But
you can't deny him, though, right?
Right? I don't know why. I think they might give it to Neuer.
Really?
And I just think, and I'm like, as much as I think that Neuer is, well, arguably the best goalie in the world, of course, yeah, let's call him that, right? I mean, he was the best goalie this year.
He is.
I mean, he had a great calendar year. There's other great ones, like, you know, I get it. You know, like.
I don't know, but to be consistently good and great, it's Manuel Neuer for me.
Yeah, right? Let's give it to him, for sure. And he fits the bill. He's dominant. He's, like, you know, he's a cutting edge goalie, right? He plays. He's got better feet than maybe some murder sacker.
Oh,
sorry,
right?
It wasn't a shot at Arsenal.
No, buddy. I know some pets out there that have better feet than.
No, right? But okay, like, meaning, like, he's very good at his spot. You know, World Cup winning team. Enough said. You know, good shot stopper. The complete goalie, for sure. No doubt. But are we really not going to give it to Cristiano Ronaldo?
No,
like,
I can't.
As much as. You know how much of a fan I am as a person, but, oh, God, really. Actually, I think what I heard was, I think that's why here in the GTA of Toronto, the gas prices have gone down. I heard it's because crude oil has been exported to Cristiano Ronaldo directly to his home so he can put in his hair. I think they're sick. I don't know, but no,
oh my
but,
God.
Let's get serious. They do some wacky stuff at FIFA, right? But no, this is the Ballon d'Or that's from France football. So, yeah. I don't know how much more fire you're going to get from me, right? It's good stuff. Okay. How about this? I'm taking too long. My choice is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, mine too.
For the calendar year that he's had.
That's right, that's the only reason.
The only reason. I mean, like we said, I think you would have seen... Never mind better performances from others in the World Cup. Because of what he did in his calendar year, unbelievable. Like, unreal. Like, it's like every time you turned on or you're following it on Twitter, hat trick for Ronaldo. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Amazing. So I'm going to hope that there's no conspiracy and it goes to Ronaldo, but I wouldn't be surprised if they gave the man one order. I don't think that Messi deserves it this year.
No, I don't either.
Crazy because even like to think that he's third. But he still had a fantastic year, scored just almost as many goals as Cristiano Ronaldo, helped his team get to a World Cup final. But I think, you know, winning a Champions League and being the most dominant player on that team, it's got to go to Ronaldo.
And
the hardest thing to do in sports and soccer is to score.
Right.
And he's the best scorer and the best offensive threat.
Right.
So I got to go with our friend who's helped with oil and gas prices.
Yeah. I brought up a scenario where Manuel Neuer won the Ballon d'Or, but it just seems that FIFA's not going to give it to him because, in all actuality, you're not going to a game to watch Manuel Neuer play.
Yeah, and that's my point, right, Reg? It's like, you ain't going to watch Barcelona for, God love us, for Busquets.
Well, exactly.
No,
so... How can you not? FIFA's not going to give the award to him just off
you know,
that. That's off
yeah.
that.
So I'm going to go with it's our boy from Blancos in Madrid, but hey, crazier stuff has happened.
Yeah, I can. I was wrestling with it earlier because it would be like a buck of the trend to give it to Manuel Neuer. He's never won it, and it's Ronaldo and Messi, same old people over and over and over again. But how can you deny them?
You can't. Ronaldo. We're living in an era with those two. Are whether you go on the Messi side or Ronaldo side, okay, whatever. Those are different arguments. They're too pretty. They're very dominant. You can't get away from those two.
If you're talking about the best.
It's their era, right?
Yeah. So. I would give it, just for, like you said, for the calendar year that he had, I give it to Ronaldo. We both have him giving it to Ronaldo.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. All right, so getting back to what we were going to discuss before I hit you with that curveball.
Yeah, I want to give you my scoop that you're probably going to say, yeah, I already knew that.
Well, the silly season has arrived, so let's hear what you got.
Well, you probably know some, but okay, so there's a Man City's hurting for strikers.
Right.
I heard that Wilfred Bonny might be going to them today.
Right.
I don't know, you probably already heard that, right?
I'm on this thing all day, buddy.
Yeah, so you know, right?
I'm on this thing all day.
But I think that's a pretty interesting one. I've been watching Swansea like you, you know, like you're a follower of EPL, and like, you know, they've always played for a team that's Swansea, for gosh sake, they don't like from Wales, playing some interesting, attacking, good football, and I think, you know, well, former Jonathan de Guzman's former club.
Right.
I mean, I've always liked him. I think he's a prototypical EPL striker. A lot of pace, lot more finish than I thought.
Yeah.
Strong. I mean, he's like a modern day striker.
But you're gonna miss him if you buy him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
you're going to miss him for January, for sure.
And that's the thing, right?
And then most, like always, when players go to major tournaments, there's always that two-week, just take it easy for 2 weeks, and then we'll bring you back slowly into training, and then you probably won't see this guy until the middle of February.
And that's the thing,
well,
right?
Actually, no, later than that, because I think the tournament's still going on in the middle of February, or if they make it to the finals, it's...
And that's the thing, and then, like, getting acclimated, like, it's one thing, I always talk about this, you know, it's one thing for playing for a club like Swansea, and we talk about this with Everton, right? Oh, great results. But when you go to a big club, and when your expectation is to win every week, it does change things.
Right.
You know, so that's why I think if that's who we're relying on at Man City. But, you know, my view on that is, what a great move for him, the player.
But do you think so?
I think it's a great move for him. Okay, here's what I think. Yeah, I know what you're getting at here, I think. A great move for the now, but when all the big boys are back,
there you go.
What happens to him?
Jovetic, Dzeko, Aguero, Boney, one position. Who do you play?
When those guys come back, and that's why I think, is the player really going to make that move? I always think of this one, Lukaku, and what a good decision he made. They know I want to go back to Everton full time. I don't want to be back here on loan.
Right.
No, I'm not in Mourinho's plans.
Yep.
I'm not just going to be here, and I totally think that was a buy. That was just to keep them away from someone else.
Right.
You know, he's not going to hurt you playing for 10th place, or, I mean, relatively 10th. It might be even lower.
I think they're 13th now.
Yeah, and I think maybe 10th is their goal.
Yeah, I think finishing in the top half is, like, that's why I always said David Moyes never should have left. To finish 10th and be hailed a saint is, you're in heaven, bud. Why are you going to go take over Manchester United and have that pressure of, if you don't finish first, you're
exactly
done.
It. Yeah, and now it's funny that he's gone into the Everton, almost the Everton of the La Liga with Real Sociedad.
Right, they're not destined or picked to do anything.
No, and it's talking about that pressure of going on every week and having to get results.
Yeah, this guy, they beat Barcelona, and it's just like, oh, David Moyes with the masterclass of how to, it's like, masterclass.
Right.
It's like,
absolutely.
Really? Wow.
And
probably
just
parked the bus.
Yeah, and you just, exactly, and you change clubs.
Right.
And you put him on Man United, and it's like, you know, he wins 1-0, and it wasn't pretty enough.
Exactly.
So, I totally agree with you there. So, there's that. That's the thing. Now, the Champions League teams, who are they looking to get? Your club, Arsenal.
Wow,
I
don't believe anybody that Arsenal gets this transfer window is pretty much we're getting him to solidify Champions League and things for next season.
You're looking for a big fish in the off season.
Oh, well, a big fish in the off season, and maybe a big fish for a certain position now. But everybody that's on the pages are cup tied anyway, so you're not going to get them in Champions League.
And that's the tough part, right?
But if you really think you're going to do damage this Champions League, which I have to see them, I have to see them going to the quarters at least. Well, they have to get past Monaco.
I do see them. I think they're going to get past. And I think they can even, you know, depending on who they draw. I mean, Arsenal can beat anybody. They're in that, you know, they're in that. But as you know, Arsenal can also fold it up.
Well, it's just a good thing this year, actually, if you can say there's anything good about injuries, that all the injuries are taking place early in the season.
Yeah,
for the
exactly.
last 4 or 5 seasons, we're getting guys hurt now. And then they're out for 3 months. And it's like, well,
right.
Now what do we do? Transfer windows closed, and now Giroud and Welbeck are hurt. What the hell do we do now?
I thought Welbeck, you know, did so well as to get acclimated. I mean, this is the Welbeck we thought he could be.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man, he's been great. His finishing has been really clinical. Done really well for Arsenal.
But to put him on the wing and just cause problems, he's been great out there.
I like how they had him playing with Giroud.
But they're both, Giroud suspended and
Welbeck's hurt. What about this for a shocker that I've heard somewhere, but I doubt it's not going to happen. But another one I heard was Cristiano Pelle to Arsenal.
Oh, you heard that?
Yeah, I think that's a really far-fetched one.
The only person I heard coming from Southampton to Arsenal was Schneiderlin.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I thought it was they're saying maybe one now, one later. But this was from an Italian paper, and man, do they love. If you think the English papers like to cause controversy, geez, I mean, it's probably more of a hype machine to get him to a bigger club,
right?
You know,
but I don't want to see anybody that's not a defensive midfielder or a center back coming to Arsenal.
I agree. I think Arsenal the problem. Like people say, a big striker. Arsenal gets goals from enough guys that are like we don't call the typical striker.
Right.
Santi Cazorla, Alexis Sanchez, they're going to get goals playing in those areas. And then the list goes on with Arsenal. I mean, Ruzicki still comes on and scores goals. I mean,
right.
You know, like, I agree. It's back to the Flamini. Who can replace him as a defensive midfielder and a guy who's just going to break? I really think Arsenal is, are you going to buy just to buy?
Right.
I don't think there's a lot on the shopping list. I think when they go to the grocery store, there ain't much there for them.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And everything that's on the list or that's out there is overpriced now anyway.
Yeah, like I mean, so. I also heard a rumor of Abdelrahmi from AC Milan to Arsenal.
Right.
I think you got the French connection there with him, but you know, Reg, I saw him defend today, and oh my god,
not so good, eh?
Well, the thing is, he's too inconsistent. I think if Arsenal is looking for a light, the players that Arsenal is looking for are lights out.
Right.
They're not looking for reinforcements.
Right.
Their reinforcements need to contribute right now.
Yeah, our reinforcements are playing. You know, we need the guy. We need the guy that's in front of the second stringers. You know what I mean? And we don't have that. We at the back. We don't have that. I wouldn't play Mertesacker in our league.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know, but anyway.
So that's what I'm saying. And again, Arsenal's going to get a lot of pressure to buy here. But I know we always say this, but are we just going to buy just to buy?
And I know he won't. I know he won't buy just to buy because he's not that type. He's already said he's not going to buy to buy.
He's not influenced by that.
Right. But if there's guys out there and we definitely need a spine. The middle of our field is ridiculous. It's bad.
You know who would think field just, you know. And he's cup tied though. There's the thing: is Mats Hummels should be an Arsenal player.
Yeah, he's cup tied.
Like
yeah.
he just fits Arsenal. You know?
Well, that's what he said. He said if I go anywhere, I want to go to either Arsenal or well, who the hell did he say? Another ticky tacky team. That was in Barcelona.
I mean, he's an Arsenal player. He just fits Arsenal. Like Mats Hummels, we know what Mats Hummels is. He's he's the best passing central defender by far for me, like without a doubt.
You pay 50. Yeah, okay. You pay 50 million for him.
Oh, jeez. Thing is, Reg, I think he'll get the money. I just think he'll get it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not because I know Dortmund's going to be pretty desperate, right? But I don't know. I'd like to see Marco Reus and Hummels at Arsenal.
Okay, me too, buddy. And Messi and.
I think you're going to see. I think you'll see Hummels there. I really believe it.
Well,
this transfer window, like we said, that stuff about being cup tied kills you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I Arsene Wenger is the type of person that would look ahead rather than to the right now and say, absolutely, well, if we have this guy next year, we're yeah, destined to go far in a Champions League. And that's absolutely when, that's what he'll,
and,
that's what
yeah, do. And yeah, here's another one I've heard too. Muriel from Udinese.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe going to Arsenal.
Yeah. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that one.
I know, because, like I said, Sanchez is working on, like not negotiating that, but like, you know, doing some, let's call it some Drake
tapping up. You call it tapping up
ambassador work. Oh,
God. Well, I'll take that.
We like not, and I brought him into that. I shouldn't have. I apologize. I don't even like him, but
who, Drake?
The bottom is not Forest Hill, but anyhow.
Pretty, yeah, well, we're not going to get into that.
Sorry,
I got a lot of things to say about that guy, but it's not football.
It might be the cold air, Reggie.
It's not football.
It might be the cold air that's getting me, you know? Anyway.
Forest Hills, anyways, if you don't live in the GTA, you won't get it, but Forest Hills yeah, isn't the bottom. Yeah, yeah. Trust me.
Exactly. We'll explain. Oh, now a whole bunch of people are like, I like Drake. What's wrong with these guys?
Go look up Forest Hills. And, and Google it, and then tell me that's the bottom.
Yeah.
$2 million houses. But anyways, this discussion isn't only geared to EPL. We cover four leagues, or well, five leagues, including the MLS, because I know Gerard, I spoke about this in the news.
Wow.
Gerard's going to go to LA Galaxy.
Amazing, amazing. I think, there's so much layers to this thing. Does it speak to the MLS being gaining in its, not popularity, I talk about it in its substance, in its validity on the soccer scene globally?
I think it's still going to be seen as, like, the rest, like, I see it and some of my other friends see it. Yeah, as a retirement league.
Yeah.
When you can't hack it in the league you're playing in, you come to the MLS, you're a big name, you take your $7 million per year, you play for a couple of years, and you...
Yeah, I agree, Reggie.
And you, you bugger off,
better,
right?
That way, but it's still, I think soccer and football is one of those sports where the prestige and tradition still, although it's, we know it's about money, we get it, right? Desk, players that move all the time. But let's get it straight. If you're a player, you know, who's flying his trade and, you know, has a chance to play in Europe or to play in the MLS, you're going to Europe.
Of course.
Right? If you're a player at Boca Juniors, you know, in these soccer factories in South America and in Brazil and Palmeiras and Corinthians, yada, 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 you're looking to go to one of these bigger European clubs. And not only for the money, of course, but for the fact that, you know, you're there, like we said, there is that tradition. But what a big deal to have Stevie G go over.
It is. It is a big deal. And you got Kaká coming in, I think.
Yeah.
Is it next
season?
Right. Or?
Like, when are these guys going to be coming at the height of their...
Well, you won't. You'll get them. You'll get the fringe guys when they're 21. You know, coming here like Laba did into Toronto.
Oh,
you know,
geez, that would be a transfer that they should go after, Reg. Yeah. And you called it too. We did, right? We said, are they crazy?
Ridiculous transfer.
He was just brilliant.
Laba, imagine you have Laba and Bradley in the midfield for TFC.
He was just fantastic. He was just a
two workhorses, man.
I know, but. And class, right?
I know.
I love that kid.
I know. Yeah. But what
so,
the whatever.
If you talk about MLS, I can't believe there's stuff with the MLS signings and transfers. And it leads me to, and again, here's my thing. The Serie A, you talked about it too. And we'll talk a little bit about their transfers.
Right.
But to me, I know people are going to freak out. But remember, I'm a longtime Serie A fan.
Right.
Still am. But that's become the MLS of Europe, if you will. Oh, my God,
yeah,
people are
going to
be throwing stuff at me now. But I just mean, like, where are the the transfers are second tier.
Right.
They're, you know, players you don't really hear about. They're financial moves that need to be, like, almost like working with a cap, if
right,
you will.
Right.
Like, so there's not, some of the noise I'm hearing there is, well, what is it? Well, Alessio Cerchi, who was at Atletico Madrid, couldn't find his way in the team.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you couldn't find his way in the Simeone's team. He actually played today, and AC Milan lost to Sassuolo.
They lost today?
Oh yeah,
2-1.
To
El Shaarawy there.
El Shaarawy played, yeah.
Did he?
Cerchi got in the team too for 15 minutes, but a Juve target, Simone's Daza.
Yeah, where's he? He's at Sassuolo, right?
Yeah, and, he's a striker. He scored a brilliant goal to win 2-1. Yeah. And so he's a Juve target, they're saying. So I don't know if they might. And again, will not be cup-tied. I know you're surprised that Thus Wall wouldn't be in Europe, but they're not.
You're right.
So there's that. I know that that's really the big stuff. I know that, well, Kevin Strootman, if you will.
Right.
Becoming first choice for Roma, actually, and played today in their 1-0 win.
Oh, he's back now from his knee injury.
Yeah, and again, long time, you know, admirer of him is Louis van Gaal.
But again, I have Strootman on the list for Man U as well.
But what we talked about, isn't it, Reg, is about, you know, they're not Champions League team.
Right.
But, you know, he'd be a... I just think that's another one, a matter of time. You know, I think, how do you say no to the big lights and so on? But again, maybe that's a Bonnie situation. I think Strootman's made a quality player, obviously.
Well, he could take over. He could come to Man U and take over for Carrick, because Carrick's on his way out, right?
Yeah, and play like a lot of different spots too, Strootman, right? Like he's a quality player, and I would have loved to have seen him with Holland in the World Cup.
Yeah, that's
they're
sure.
saying. He's a target that would go, again, though, leaving Serie A, but he's one that they're looking at too, you know? Another guy at Roma who's Mattia Destro. I know maybe not everybody knows too much about him, but he's a quality striker. Big kid.
Big guy, right?
Good feet, good finish in him. I call him like a just better feet than Vieri, but kind of the same mold. Like just seems to find the back of the net.
Right.
Can't really find a place in Roma. A few Italian clubs have got some interest, AC Milan, but also I was hearing stuff that he might be going to the EPL as well.
Oh, really? I know that Arsenal was interested, but like I said earlier, I don't want to see any strikers coming into this team for the next year and a year and a half.
Yeah, I know, but we need that, you know, that CDM, right? Or
exactly. Control. If you buy a striker, I'm going to freak.
Yeah.
Cavani comes here for 50 million, I'll freak.
Yeah, because I think Giroud's proved that he's, when in the team, he's more than adequate.
Right.
You know? But that's what I'm hearing. I think, you know, I don't know, personally, as a fan of him, not maybe necessarily Roma.
Right.
I'd love to see him get some first team action.
For sure.
Oh, but that's the gist of their. Napoli's had a few signings. They signed another Croatian international today and so on. I mean, they look to be coming into thing after, you know, again, Rafa Benitez failing in Europe again.
Well, Champions League winner under
Podolski,
his belt.
We know.
Yeah, Podolski went to Inter. Did they play today?
They tied 1-1. Juventus and Inter tied 1-1.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so they're, you know, but again, we talk about, like, the level of signings. Like, we're talking about the EPL, Bundesliga, La Liga. The signings are the upper echelon guys.
Right.
Here in Serie A, it's the guys just trying to break in, or guys, like I said, just looking to retire somewhere.
That's it. That's it. They still want to retire. They want to retire in Europe. They don't want to go to across the pond to play against in Utah on a Friday night. So So just before we wrap it up, because we're running out a little bit out of time, we can pick this up again next week. I know we talked about EPL and a little bit of Serie A, but there's still La Liga and Bundesliga to speak about.
Yeah, we got to do that for sure. Yeah.
So we'll probably continue this next show.
Yes.
But the last thing I want to leave you with is your countryman, my countryman, half yours, half mine, we'll say.
Yeah.
Mr. Mario Balotelli. How many kids? 24 years old, right?
I know.
How many more chances does he get before it's see you later? No thanks.
It's such a shame, isn't it? He's become a sideshow.
Right.
Right. And you talk about the physical attribute check. You talk about athletic, physical check. You talk about the technical attribute check. You talk about, you know, can he score goals? Can he change game? He's got everything that you need in a modern footballer. But he is a ticking time bomb. And
you think that's maturity or?
I think it is, and I think it's got nothing to do with age. I really do. I think it's a lack of maturity. I just think that, you know, Mario Balotelli in a game is Mario Balotelli in his life. Like he's going at a good rate, might be going great for 60 minutes. You bark in his ear, you get under his skin, he might turn around and cough you, he might yell at you, and he's out of it.
Right.
But there's that moment that he can do things that only a handful of player can do. I mean, it's a shame. Is he going to be on his way out of Liverpool now, too? Ricky Lambert is beating him on the team sheet.
Wow. It's effort. And I've seen that, and it's just...
There's just no work right
no,
at him.
No, it's play the ball to my feet. If it's not there, sorry.
Yeah, and it's just... It's so not... We talk about him. I just finished talking, describing him as a modern football, right? Prototypically, if you were to ask, you want him to be, look like him, not Lionel Messi.
Right. Big, right? Strong guy, yeah.
Yeah. And technical. But today's game, as we know, like we're all fans of it, everyone's asked to work and contribute.
Right.
And he just gives you nothing. You know? And we know that he doesn't like to train. I mean, we know that.
That's for sure.
But it's just a shame. It's just a real shame, and it's a head shaker, a head scratcher. This is a player who's shown brilliant, brilliant stretches.
Right.
And then just, he's going to be one of those guys where you say, oh, man, you know, he should have been. He could have been.
I
cheer for Mario Balotelli. I mean, listen, not because...
Oh, I do, too. Well, I do, too. But it's just, he's too talented, and you just want to see him get it together, right?
Oh,
and he's been England twice now. He's been Italy twice now. He's played for Inter AC. He's played for Man City. He's played for big clubs.
Yeah,
and every coach has been like, this guy's a freaking idiot.
Yeah, like they just can't play. Like it's just, I mean, he played for Seedorf too, right? Like even a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
right.
I don't get it. Like, he is one of the biggest anomalies I can ever think of. You know, like, I just don't get him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, when I think of Balotelli, I think of a player or a person that you've tried to help in your life, and you just shake your head, you know, and just you want to give chance after chance to,
mm-hmm.
and they just constantly disappoint you.
Yeah,
he's like, you know what he is? He's like the girlfriend you just keep calling back.
Exactly.
Like, man, it's gonna be different this time.
Yeah, right.
That ain't.
Yeah, right.
You know, I hate to use that reference, but that's what it's like.
Yeah, for sure.
It's gonna end the same. Like, we know it exactly. We know how this movie's gonna end. And I hope that Mario Balotelli just picks it up one day. But the guy's got to stay off Instagram. He's got to stay off Twitter. Like, he's just into nonsense.
If I was a coach or an owner, I wouldn't let anybody go on Twitter.
Come on, man.
Or like, Instagram or anything like that.
Yeah, like...
That's ridiculous.
You know, just settle
that's
down.
You're going to get... You're going to get suspended over putting something on Twitter.
Come
Maybe
on,
Twitter's
guys.
Not for you. You know what
it
I mean?
It ain't for you, man.
You know what I mean? But
come on.
It's
so that's Mario Balotelli. I wish I could, you know, figure that guy out, because there is still not a player. As an AC Milan fan, I was happy when they got him. I thought this might be the thing that turns him around. As an Italian national team fan, you know, again, back to after having some success, back to being a long suffering one.
Mm-hmm.
He was the light at the end of the tunnel, because
right.
There's no one can say it. They can bring in whoever they want. There's no doubt if Mario Balotelli comes into the side, he's still the best player they have.
Right.
Like, on paper, you know? There is Super Mario, not so super right now.
Well, like we said, we want to see him do well, but
it's gotta
come from within him to be able to realize this opportunity that only comes to a few people in the world. I mean, I would give a lot to be a professional football player at 24 years old, making that amount of money and being in that spotlight. And you wouldn't have a problem with me training or anything like that, just knowing how lucky you are. But maybe things have been handed to him his whole life. Who knows, right? So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's we say this all the time. It's, if they only had the mental side of it. And now it's changed. I think even when I deal with young players, I look for that first.
Right.
I look for it first, because that physical stuff is only going to last so long. That mental side of it, the mental side of it, the approach to being a professional, the approach to wanting to get better.
Right.
And now when you hear these, professional managers say he's coming along in training, I'd say, what the hell, they're just trying to like generalize and say all the cliches, but no, I see it. Like, I get it now. I get it. That, the training is where they see, is this guy going to be trustworthy? And you saw with Balotelli, getting subbed off at half.
Right.
In the most important game of the World Cup. Guy's on a yellow. Coach can't trust him.
Well, that's what it is too, right?
And if you're coaching against him, what do you say?
Let's go right at him.
Kick him, bark at him.
That's it.
He's off his game, right? We got to talk NBA one day, too. We made a lot of NBA references today. We'll do that one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe one day. But thanks for coming on, and hopefully you'll be a regular contributor to the show. Yeah. Hopefully weekly we can do this.
Thanks, Reg. Yeah, we got to do another transfer show, and we're going to talk about some Bundesliga and some La Liga and stuff. Sure. So,
yeah, I wanted to you're one of the guys that I wanted to get. Every week I come on and I say, yeah, we're going to do a FIFA corruption show. And
yeah, we should.
And you're one of the guys that I want to get on.
You're an Italian guy to have there?
Well, you'd be the best guy to talk to, right? Briefcases under the table, right? Set bladder in your pocket. I know. But I want to get you and maybe a couple other guys on, and we can have a show just dedicated to that.
Sure.
But, getting everyone scheduled together is freaking madness, so...
Crazy, yeah.
Hopefully we can do that in the new year, and
that'd be fun.
You'll
be really
definitely
fun.
One of the guys that I call for sure. But I want you on weekly. So yeah, tell the people you're going to be on weekly.
Okay, well, today was a good start. Let's make it happen. Sure.
All right.
Hopefully no one throws anything at me with the Drake stuff. I like Drake. He's okay. No problem.
Drake sucks. Good. Forget it. Drake sucks.
Okay, well, I didn't want to say it now.
Exactly.
We fly everywhere, I guess, with this podcast. It's okay. I was just before talking to you, I tried to put my little guy to bed, and I had some music on, and De La Soul popped on.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be something that you used to...
Oh, I still bump that now, man.
Yeah, right?
Still on my iPod, for sure.
I said, these youngsters don't know this stuff.
No, they don't know that, man. They don't know that. They only know is Drake and Yeezy and Kanye. They don't know anything about hip hop. But that's another show for another day and
another
podcast.
That's another time. Well, we got to do some other stuff. So I'm just saying, we have a lot of we go deep with our plethora of stuff that we could talk about.
Exactly. Well, I have another podcast out there, so maybe we can.
Oh, I know, Reg. Can get on people there. Don't know. They got to know. You are like a man of many talents.
Well, I try. Best soccer player, best basketball player, best handicapper in NFL. Seriously, I'm stretched too thin, man.
Just,
I'm good at
you're
everything.
You're feeling good, too, because you're Ravens.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, no, yeah. And like I always said to you, I said, you had the better Harbaugh, and you still do have the better Harbaugh.
Well, the other Harbaugh's on our sidelines, but...
In Ravens gear, but wow, we got a lot to talk about. But anyhow, yeah, so that's good. See, we left it on a positive.
Okay, that's better. Positive Ravens, I got it.
There you go.
Okay. Well, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Hey, Reg.
To all the listeners of the Football Weekly Podcast, this is episode 13. As usual, get stuck in.
And stay warm.
And stay warm.